The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Will we hear Todd Rundgren again this season? I'm serious. That feels like a legit question. They got the Eagles next, the Bears in Chicago, then they go on the bye. Maybe we could just play it on the bye just for fun.
I can do that. If everyone wants to,
right, they don't the lose the game. But if they don't lose the game,
do they win the game?
But Jen, I didn't realize he was such a good musician. How about when they lose, we play his other good song that you played last week that
you
I
have
loved.
This idea now? 8 weeks into the
season?
Well,
I have
season?
A feeling we might be able to play it next week in the week after.
11 weeks. Not even eight,
song,
we're 11
the
weeks
song
in.
Is the Hello, It's Me song that we were talking about last
yes,
week.
Yes, I love that song.
You know what?
Speaking of which,
you do it.
Speaking of which, have we heard from Mo yet in Illinois? Because I'm very interested to see if he still believes that they can run the table and make the playoffs and win the Super Bowl.
We have not
no
heard
call?
We have not heard
no,
from Mo yet.
I haven't okay. talked to Mo yet.
No. No. Do we know
yeah.
Mo? But let's hear from Matt LaFleur, who last night had to address the media after his team lost 27-17 to the Tennessee Titans, and now they fall to 4-7, according to ESPN Analytics, a 6.66% chance to make the playoffs. Matt?
Extremely disappointed right now to put on a performance like that. I don't even know what to say. There was nothing like a few days ago, and that's why you're only as good as your last game. And you got to every time you step out on that field, you got to go out and do it. And give credit to the Titans; they came ready to play. They were obviously more physical, and they made a lot more plays than we made. And just there was no consistency in terms of being complimentary offensively and defensively. Obviously, when we needed stops, couldn't get them. And then when we needed to score, we were getting stops, we couldn't score and didn't take advantage of an interception, didn't take advantage of the return to midfield. So you can't do that against good football teams and expect to win.
Chew, when you hear the head coach talk like that, does it inspire confidence? You know, again, we talk about galvanizing. Yeah. We talk about moving forward. We talk about what you do to avoid, as you mentioned earlier in the show, this thing getting worse. What's your reaction when you hear Matt LaFleur with his opening statement after last night's loss?
First of all, as a fan and as a player, and I know this might not be his personality, but I want to see more fire, more anger from my coach instead of just the flatness. Because the player, you know, they listen to this stuff and they'll hear these clips. Much like when they went off to London and LaFleur's talking before, you know, a couple of days before the game, you know, this isn't really fun for us. We don't really want to do this. Players buy into what their coach says. Like, for me, back in the day, a game like this, going into today, my blood pressure would probably be 200 over 150. Because you know you're just going to get reamed. You feel bad. It's a team you should have beat. You got embarrassed and essentially ended your season. I mean, 6%, no one's going to give them a chance to beat Philadelphia. And I'm sure if they lose to Philadelphia, they're probably, are they close to eliminated? And guys are going to jump ship. I would like to see more emotion from him instead of the flat, disappointed, you know. Just every coach I played for would be more vocal about it, and I think that's what the fans want. The fans want to feel anger, and I think the way he conducts himself, they just, I don't know what they feel.
So you were
Did
saying
the Bucks
that
win?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it might be time to turn the page. It might be time to start paying attention to some of the other things going on in the Wisconsin sports landscape. You were saying that Aaron Rodgers is going to look around. He's going to say, this is a reality at this spot, reality at this spot, reality at this spot. And you think that he's going to walk away. Is that dependent on how the rest of the season goes? Like, let's say they lose to the Eagles, which I think, as you stated, most people are going to think is what is going to happen there because the Eagles got their clunker out of the way against the Commanders. Let's say they beat the Bears. Let's say they beat the Rams. Let's say they beat Miami. Again, I'm just throwing this out there. Like, do you sit there and go, like we mentioned in the game against the Cowboys, look at the resiliency. Look at this team who was down 14, who didn't pack it in, who didn't fold up their tents, who didn't decide, we'll live to fight another day. Would you at least give them credit for being able to rattle off some wins at the end of the season and make it somewhat respectable? Or are you in the camp of, hey, let's start figuring out what we got in some of these other guys. Let's get Jordan Love in there under center. Let's be throwing to Christian Watson and some of these younger receivers, maybe a Samori Torrey and things like that. Let's start figuring out and getting those guys the invaluable reps that you need in order to be able to hang in the National Football League.
I think there will have to be some promise from these young guys, like you said, where Aaron can look at it and go, you know what? Maybe they don't need one more year. Because if you look at Jordy, if you look at Devontae, if you look at Cobb, probably their second year, they were nice, right? They were nice, but they weren't going to get you to where you want to go. I think Aaron's going to look at this team. Like I said, Aaron Jones, cap trouble. I mean, the tight end production, even though Tonyan has a lot of catches, he's clearly not the player he was 2 years ago where there was explosiveness. Free agent. You got his buddy Bakhtiari, who's, you know, a huge cap number. If Christian Watson can go out towards the end of the year and have 7 catches for 90 yards, and 8 catch 120, where he's like, all right, maybe with a year this guy can be our number one, you get Dobbs back. Everyone else, I think, is gone. You know, Sammy Watkins clearly gone. Tonyan gone. If he can see, and they addressed Aaron Jones, he has to see that they have a chance to win the Super Bowl next year. And if he doesn't feel that way, because I don't think the money's a big deal to him, even though it's nice, but he's either going to ask for a trade or retire. Because these years stink. The Ray Rhodes year, where we were good every single year, I think the worst year we were under Holmgren was 9-7, and then you come off of a nice run, you lose in San Francisco, and you go 8-8. That's 8-8, and miss the playoffs. It's horrible. It's a terrible feeling, you know. And that's where he's going to be at. He's going to evaluate and say, "No, we can't do it. I'm out."
That's why I also said, though, and we were talking about this again a segment or two ago, he's got to be very careful with, like, criticizing the fans and attacking the fans. Like, when you underperform, you got to eat it. You got to wear it. And he's been underperforming at times this season. Has he played well at times? Of course he has. You expect that from the caliber and the expectations that Aaron Rodgers has put out there. But take a page from Leroy Butler's book, okay? Leroy Butler goes out there and every chance he gets, he compliments the fans. Last night he's getting his ring right at halftime. And what is he talking about? How he wishes that the fans' names could be up around the Ring of Honor, right? And everybody knows that that's literally impossible to do. But it's a nice warm feeling. It makes you feel a little fuzzy, like you're part of what's going on. Every time Rodgers kind of ostracizes the fans and says that it's interesting that they're getting booed, instead of saying, yeah, we deserved it. We deserve to get booed. We underperformed.
Yeah,
We've been underperforming.
Agree.
Like, that's a play that, again, if I were a PR staff, I'd be advising the quarterback to follow. Because what was the thing I saw yesterday after the game, Chew? Something about, like, their last Packers came away with no points over their final 4 possessions. This is where the hubris and the ego, which I argue you have to have in order to play the quarterback position, you have to have in order to be a leader in an NFL locker room that is testosterone and has all of these alphas in there, can get in your way a little bit. Because there's a part of me that thinks Rodgers still wants to do it all himself. He wants to throw the team on his back. He wants to make all the throws. He wants to drive them down the field. And we want that too, Rodgers. But the whole idea of complementary football seems to be something he has a tough time wrapping his brain around. He has a tough time, like, swallowing it, Chew.
Because he got the fans back. What was it, 2 years ago, where half of them, you know, where we went through that train wreck at draft day and all that, and he lost about half the fans. And he's got them back now. Now he's trending towards losing them again. But you're right, Gene. He does say things. I forget it was one of the last games or a few where he says, "I didn't play well, but I played to the end." And then I remember him going on McAfee like, "I didn't play well, but I am still the two-time reigning MVP."
And you know, like, where you to find me.
You don't
you
need
compete.
To say that. Right? You don't need to say that because we can see it on the field. It's just like, and I agree with you. Why don't you just say, yeah, we deserve to be booed because we stink. And we're putting our team, we're putting our season in serious jeopardy. I don't think he's capable. But is it going to drive him out the door? That's the thing. There's a balance there where if he does tick off the fans, get used to life without Aaron Rodgers. You know, it's just it's a scary thought where we knew it was going to end. We didn't think it was going to end like this, though.
800-990-3776. Lots of reaction rolling in on the old National Bank talk and text line. Matthew and Waukesha weighing in saying, when was the last time the Packers were this bad? Not just regarding their record, but using the eye test. And when you look at the talent and the expectations, you say, this is a bad team. What do you think, Chu? When's the last time the team was this bad? Because, again, we were making the comparisons to, what, 2016 because they had the comparable record. Yeah. But I feel at least with that squad that you felt like, it's just not clicking. But if they just tweak a few things.
They made the playoffs, though. Like
exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I'm thinking of a McCarthy year.
When that happened, was that the run the table year or am I confusing it with 2014?
16 was run the table.
16 was run the table.
14 was the Seahawks fiasco. I guess we can call it that. I mean, Chewy, I don't know if you have an answer. I feel like the McCarthy year when he got fired, that around the time that McCarthy got fired, that was as bad as I'd ever seen them play and act and body language and
all
that. Yeah,
but you know what the difference is? I don't know. Just the difference to me is they had the talent then. It's just McCarthy was not getting it done and he just did a horrible job coaching. I don't know if they have the talent, which is weird. Offensively, I just don't think I –
What are you trying to do? What are you trying to do? You trying to convince yourself that they do? You know they don't. Stop it right now.
I know.
You know they don't.
You're trying to do a Jason thing where AJ Dillon's a nice kid, but he kind of sucks right now. Not kind of. He does suck right now.
Jesus, I don't know if they have the talent. I watched Alan Lazard last night. Again, Lazard's a great dude, right? By all accounts, everybody says he's a great dude.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
But
he's
but
not a one, 30, and he's 70, probably not a two.
30-70. There's a 30% chance he's coming up with the ball.
Jen, we all do this, whether it's at home, with your friends, or whatever. If Goody is in a room right now with his director of college football, his pro personnel, you think they sit in there and go, huh, I did not see this coming at all? Or do they sit there and go, I didn't think it would play out like this, but I thought there's a chance it could have played out like this? Were they totally bought into
I think it's the latter. I think it's
this,
the latter.
This receiver experiment with work?
But I also think that when you go into those roles, you know that it's an inexact science, too. I think you know, right? You can see all the things. You can see all the measurables, the height, the weight, the speed, all that stuff, what they've done at their collegiate level. And that's why we talk about the Christian Watsons and the Romeo Doubs. Like, the competition that they were going up against is not the elite of the elite at the collegiate level. So how does that play into your evaluation? But I think there are so many things that have to go right from a developmental standpoint, from a situation standpoint. It's a total crapshoot, right? Are there teams that do it very, very well? Yes. But I would also argue that when you draft guys, look, a perfect example, guys, Amari Rodgers. Amari Rodgers is a perfect example of a guy who played at one of the top programs in the country, who has a national championship under his belt, who you would think could be a contributor, could be productive in the NFL based on what he did in college. Didn't, hasn't, couldn't. Maybe you will with the Texans. Couldn't do it in Green Bay.
But that's where your personnel department has to see that, because players mature at different ages. That's why there's so many busts coming from high school to pro, and so many busts coming from college to. I screwed that up. I know. Just work with my
brain.
You want
to do take two real quick? Why don't you go take two?
No, not really. That's a lot of work. Where Jen, I didn't, even though I was a pretty good college player, and I was one of those college players that was better because my team sucked. You know, I was not the best football player I was probably till age 26. Where some guys are at 22. And that's why as a scout, as a personnel guys, you have to take that into consideration. It's like Tony Mandrich. Everyone in the world knew he was on juice out the yin-yang. You know, you should have known not to draft the guy number two overall. That's what good personnel departments are. You know, and they have to figure out, and here lies the problem. You know? There's just so many problems on so many different levels. And don't discount the coaching, okay? You lose two of Rodgers' confidants in Getsy and Hackett, and you replace them, and you always have to be suspect of an O-line coach going to offensive coordinator just because you're kind of pigeonholed, and that plays into it. It's just like there's a peeing match between LaFleur and Aaron. No, I want to call the play. No, I want to call the play. No, I want to call. No, I want shotgun. No, I want you under center. No, I want motion. No, I don't want motion. It's like, what are we doing here?
I just wanted to applaud the fact that he self-censored himself on that one with ease, and I'm very proud of you,
Chewy. Yeah, flew right
I'm really
it.
Proud
sure.
of you
what
right
word
now.
Did I?
No.
What word did
no.
I use?
You said peeing.
You said peeing. You didn't even think twice.
Peeing contest.
Oh, okay.
That was good.
You're welcome.
We are getting a lot of reaction, 800-990-3776 on the Old National Bank talk and text line. Remember, you can call in as well if you want your voice to be heard. The lack of edge pass rush is killing the Packers. With that being said, when you have 20% of your payroll dedicated to one position, that side of the ball and person needs to produce. Rodgers has been very average and sporadically great at this point, and that is certainly worth a boo. That from Mike in Eagle. And that goes back to what we put on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy poll. Which side of the ball has been more disappointing this year as the Packers sit at 4-7 with the Eagles, who are atop the NFC with the Vikings. They're headed to Philadelphia. 800-990-3776. Weigh in on that when you get a chance. We'll take a break. Be right back after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Scholarship is done.
I don't even know what to say to that. I just assume that you, like most parents, like seeing your kids.
We do, but...
Serious?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Yeah, the season's not over. There's still 6 opportunities left. You know, we got a tough game. Got to go to Philly. Hopefully we can, these few days, get a little healthier, refresh the mind, and then obviously we gotta win these next games.
Okay, sure, let's do that. Let's win some games. Let's figure it out. I assume, Chew, they were trying to win the game last night. And like I said,
One would think.
Didn't score points on, what was it, the last 4 possessions? You know, the other thing was, it just felt like, Chewy, last night, the Titans had a better game plan. The Titans went in and were like, we're going to keep the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands, even if they tried to take away Derrick Henry, which you could argue that the Packers' defense did an effective job of that as he was held 87 yards. We're going to make it so that Tannehill can hit these. We're not going to force him to take and make throws that he cannot take and make. And we're, you know, we're going to, there was a 10-minute drive. I think at halftime, they had double the time of possession, double the points, double the plays, double the passing yards, double the running rushing yards. Like, it was across the board. They doubled them up. It just felt like they had a better game plan. You know, LaFleur was on Vrabel's coaching staff at one point. You talk about two guys who know each other pretty well. You know, two guys who know each other's tendencies and what they do. It just felt like, and it has all season long, Vrabel has a very well-coached team. And that, you know, here they are again, top team in their division, likely a playoff team, no matter what Gabe said yesterday. 800-990-3776, that's the number to reach the show, get in on the show. Chewy made a call out a couple of segments ago saying, where's Mo? Mo was very confident in this team. Mo thought that this was a playoff team. Mo is on the line. Good morning, Mo. How you feeling after that game last night, 27-17, a loss to the Titans?
Not feeling great. I was at the game, and as you guys know, I was the eternal optimist. I had, you know, I understand the team lost 5 in a row, but after that win against Dallas, I sensed a change in momentum. But being there, I'm not going to lie to you guys, I've always defended Aaron Rodgers. Like, I always, like, my Twitter name's literally Defend Rodgers. But what I saw yesterday, particularly in the fourth quarter, that was really ugly. That was really, really ugly what I saw from him. The missed throws, obviously the one to Lazard and Watkins, that was, I mean, it was heartbreaking because you're so used to seeing those throws from Rodgers. And whether it's the thumb or not, when you step between those lines, you're expected to make those throws. And as bad as the defense played the entire game, they still gave the Packers a chance to win it at the end. I mean, the interception from Rasul Douglas, you know, you sensed Lambeau wake up. I mean, they were quiet. And the fans were like, they were just dead. They were pissed off. The offense wasn't doing anything. And then the Douglas interception happens, and, you know, you sense like a like new life. And what do? They just, Rodgers funked the bet up. And the entire game, it seems like they went away from the whole under center thing. You know, it worked against Dallas, but they went away from that. And ultimately, this team is soft. This Packers team is soft. I mean, I see the Titans D-line. I see every level of the ball. They're playing tough. They're getting energized. They're playing with enthusiasm, energy. The only players I see on the Packers playing like that are Preston Smith, Jaire Alexander, and Rasul Douglas. Other than that, this team is soft. The D-line got pushed back 5 yards. The O-line of the Tennessee Titans manhandled this Packers D-front. It was really ugly to see. The pass rush was non-existent. Obviously, the loss of Gary is huge. But this team, unfortunately, is done. I'll admit that. This team is done after this loss against Tennessee. Rodgers could say all he wants that, oh, if we play up to our potential, then we could win every game. I'm sorry, I was the eternal optimist, and I was wrong. They're not winning. They're not going to the playoffs. And Rodgers should not be saying interesting to the fans getting booed. I was one of the booers, and I love Aaron Charles Rodgers.
Really?
But they deserve to get booed. I booed them coming into the tunnel from halftime. They deserved it. Rodgers should say, you know what? We deserve it. We didn't play well. Don't sit here and say interesting. That's an arrogant remark. It's a discredit to the fans, the loyal fans that sat there, the 78,000 that sat there strong in the freezing cold weather, and you sit here saying interesting. It's such a disrespectful remark to the fans. They deserve better. This team was supposed to play better, and they're on the cusp of missing the playoffs, and who knows what happens from here. But all in all, just totally, totally disappointing from this team.
Great stuff there from Mo. And listen, Mo did not have to call in, right? Mo has been the resident toad on this show for the last few weeks. As he mentioned, the eternal optimist, the defender of Aaron Charles Rodgers. And we appreciate him being like, I was wrong. This team is done. It's over. Yeah. And defending the fans' right to boo when the team on the field underperforms. It's not interesting. It's warranted. That's the bottom line there. 800-990-3776 if you want to get your reaction in like Mo did. I mean, a tip of the cap to Mo, man.
Yeah.
Did not
yeah,
have
but that's
to call
what Aaron
in.
Needs
did not
to do.
Have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great point, Chu. Take a tip from Mo. Let's see. Lots of reaction rolling in, guys. Let's see. Tim saying, whoa, it's hilarious how Goody gets blamed when they struggle, but he lists all of these guys that are all Goody guys. Last night, there were plenty of wide open guys, and Rodgers missed them. You guys are letting Rodgers' awful performance off the hook. Are we letting Rodgers' performance off the hook? Are we giving him a pass? Chu, does it feel like we've given Rodgers a pass this morning?
I don't think so. I mean, he's probably the most to blame because, look, we build the quarterback up when he's great, and I think we're doing a pretty good job of tearing him down. You know, I'm just saying that this thing, the fans have to really, what do they want? Do they want to move on? Do they want Aaron back? Because these, like we said, these next six games are going to tell you a lot. Because right now, based on their talent, they're not going to be a top dog next year. They're not going to be a top dog, and it's early to say, but they don't have any money. They got no money to go out. Maybe go out and get a number one receiver, but there are so many other holes here. You got to make coaching decisions and all that. I don't even have words for it. Just there are so many layers of dysfunction on this team that I don't know how anyone in their right mind at the end of this season, let's just say they go 3-3, can say, yeah, they can roll it back and be one of the top teams in the NFL next year. I just don't see it. I didn't see it this year. I didn't see this coming, but I don't see it next year either.
800-990-3776. Let's get out to John in Milwaukee. John, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Your reaction to the 27-17 loss to the Titans last night at Lambeau Field?
Hey, good morning, guys, and Jen. Obviously, I'm frustrated that they lost. I mean, they just got dominated, and I can't say that I expected that. You know, I think with me, I'm really starting to get some, you know, when I see Aaron Rodgers playing cold weather now, I'm really starting to get the Brett Favre vibes of what Brett looked like when he was in the cold weather. I mean, you know, I think Aaron said after the game against Dallas, you know, we're starting to get Lambeau weather here, and, you know, like that really means anything these days. But you look at the way that he's performed when it's been cold outside, and I would say last night would be one of those cold, you know, those cold weather games, and he just doesn't – he just hasn't played well the last few years, and I really just start to get that – you know, I'm starting to get that feeling that, you know, if he played in the dome, you know, he might take a team to be undefeated. But this – you know, what he's been doing in the cold weather has been – you know, it's definitely gone down. And, you know, I think the most frustrating part for me as a Packer fan is that we're only 7 weeks away now from having to go through the whole, is Aaron Rodgers saga going to come back? And that is just, you know, that really depresses me when I think about this team overall.
Oh, it's a great point. The Green Bay of our lives is going to be back. We're going to be back in the Green Bay of our lives. John, thanks for the call. Here's what I will say about that, Chu. I have always said, like, this whole idea of, oh, I can't wait for Green Bay weather. Can't wait for the cold weather. We perform so well in the cold weather. Yeah, if you run the flipping ball. But if you're throwing, you have to rely on perfect conditions. And you don't get that in Green Bay, Wisconsin, Chew. It's going to be windy and wispy and whirly. And if you're, you know, if you've made your bread and butter from being this incredibly prolific passer, guess what? It's going to affect you.
You think we would have been better off if Derrick Henry did get 120 yards rushing?
Feel better about the
Tannehill
loss.
Tannehill couldn't get into that rhythm because he was in a rhythm and he was hot, you know? I think the fact that Derrick Henry only had 87 yards, as crazy it may sound, benefited Tannehill, you know?
800-990-3776. We've got callers on the line. We've got texts rolling in. We'll get your reaction to the Packers' loss and the 4-7 season that is after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Sausage doesn't need to be on every slice of pizza, and I'm speaking
disagree.
So you can hear me upstairs.
No, she's right. She's 100% right.
It doesn't have to be on every slice of pizza. Sausage. Hey, how about sausage? Oh, that's new.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We continue taking your calls, your texts, your tweets, your reaction to the Packers' loss last night to the Tennessee Titans. Who, guys, listen, the eye test, they just looked better. They looked more complimentary. Ryan Tannehill, who everybody was like, he's not that great. Not that good. And to be fair, he wasn't. He hasn't. But he was last night. He made all the throws last night. The one interception to Rasul Douglas. And I agree with the callers who have called in saying, you thought that might be a turning point. Flip the script. Flashpoint. Okay, here we go, Packers. They're going to show up. They're going to turn this sucker around. Didn't. Couldn't. Wouldn't. I don't know. Fans obviously recognized what they perceived to be a lack of effort, a lack of good. They booed him at Lambeau Field. Should boo him. It's warranted. You pay for your ticket, you get to react, just like people do when they tweet or they text or they call. Speaking of calls, we've got Ryan on the line, 800-990-3776. Ryan, good morning. Your reaction to the loss last night and what has turned out to be a very disappointing season for the Green Bay Packers.
Hey, how are you guys doing? So I was at the game last night, and I guess I don't understand how more can't be put on LaFleur and, like, his coaching throughout the season from start to finish. I think this, not maybe not 100%, but 95% is on him. Don't get me wrong, Rodgers didn't play very well yesterday, but if you have a coach that actually knows what he's doing, maybe Rodgers isn't getting away with all the crap that he pulls. You know what I mean? Like, you have a coach that stands up after the game. How many times this season has he been like, oh, yeah, you know, we just got out-coached. You know, we have lack of effort. Like, all these things are screaming to, we don't have the right guy looking over our team. Like, that's everything. And going back to the whole, like, conversation about the fans, like, you have guys who just – they don't care about any of that stuff, and it all comes down from the head, from top down. You had Kenny Clark got interviewed after the Giant game, and LaFleur hated going to England, and he's like, they asked him about, you know, what about the fans that came to the game, and it was a Packer atmosphere, and he's like, oh, you know, we don't care about that, you know, our problems, we keep them internally, and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, you guys, you're playing this game because of the fans. Like, if there's no fans, you're not playing. You're not making millions. You're not doing anything. And there's such a lack of respect. And I feel like that's all coming back from the coach and for somebody who has no idea at what he's doing and the just being so far over his head with everything that's involved. It's just, it's kind of mind-boggling that nobody else, well, I shouldn't say nobody, but that this is not more of a talking point, I guess.
Thanks for the call, Ryan.
And I do. It does fall on LaFleur, but to me, this all goes back to who's in charge here 2 years ago, where they gave him this power. Okay, you're going to be able to consult with Goody and who we're going to pick and take and stuff like that. Because to me, like I said, it just looks like a peon match between the two of them. The head coach has to be the head coach. You know, it's almost like he doesn't want to reprimand Rodgers. They still want to coddle him when he's got to say, you know, I'm the guy. It's just... it's just everything. Like, his mechanics are just terrible, which leads to horrible throws. It, like I said, there's just so many levels to this, and everyone deserves blame, and certainly Aaron deserves his. But it's just a lack of everything. And it does. It's LaFleur's fault because he let this thing get out of control. And you saw it trickle down to Bakhtiari in the Detroit game. We're like, who's telling him to go into the game after sitting out the entire second half?
And why would he think he could do that, like, just on his own, right? Like, if there's an established hierarchy and you know who the boss is, you don't do anything without running it past the boss. So I am hesitant to pile it all on Matt LaFleur because I think that this is so nuanced and I think it's so layered, okay? You can go back to, I have always said, I think that Goody did the right thing at the time by drafting Jordan Love, a quarterback for the future, because Aaron Rodgers looked like he was on the decline. He, in fact, was not on the decline, came back only to win a couple of MVPs. So you could argue that Goody, although he was trying to look for the future, because your job as GM is to manage the team that you currently have on the field, it is also to make sure that you are built for success going forward, okay? So, but he was wrong about Aaron, so Aaron goes out and continues to play, but then Aaron throws his hissy fit, and he's petulant, and then the only way, because they look at Jordan Love and they say, he's not ready to do the job, we can't flip the switch, we can't turn the page, we have to run with Rodgers, but Rodgers is pouty, and the only way that you can get Rodgers back in the fold is to acquiesce to his demands. So you do the Doctor Strange thing. There's only one way to win this thing. The one way is to align ourselves with Aaron Rodgers. And when you align yourself with Aaron Rodgers, you give up some of your power. And then Matt LaFleur is in this situation where he has to do the thing where he steps to the podium and says the things that Aaron Rodgers says and seems like he's in lockstep with his quarterback, even if behind the scenes, the two of them are butting heads. And I'm not saying they don't have a good relationship. Don't mishear me on this. But I do think that schematically and philosophically, they want to run the offense differently. And Chu, to your point, it has been a bleep measuring contest. It has been who's the smartest guy in the room. And that, to me, has led to a lot of the issues for the offense this season.
But why is there so much looking at the receiver or the receiver looking at the quarterback in week 10 and putting your arms up? Like, what are you doing? You know? Like, what are you doing? Stop hiring your friends. Stop hiring, like, well, this guy did me a favor back then. Hire some good coaches, because we looked at it in the Detroit game, and I'm like, I totally get why Aaron Rodgers is mad, because these guys clearly aren't being coached properly. And if I can see it from three or four plays, then anyone. I mean, Lazard's been there how many years? Four?
So you're talking about the position coaches then. You're talking about the wide receiver
coaches.
Yes,
I'm talking position coaches.
Is that Vrabel? Is that who that is? Ashley, Vrabel's the wide receiver coach?
Yes, he is the wide receiver coach as well as the passing game coordinator.
So maybe that's the issue. Maybe Rodgers has taken issue with how some of these guys have gotten these guys ready, how they've coached them up, how they've taught the scheme and whatnot. Here's the thing, Chu. We talk about Aaron Rodgers. One of Aaron Rodgers' favorite movies is The Princess Bride. Maybe it's not anymore, but it was back in the day. He used to talk about it all the time, how he loved The Princess Bride. There is a scene from The Princess Bride that I couldn't help but think of last night as this game went final, as the Packers ended up losing 27-17. Ashley, can you play that scene for me, please?
He's dead. He can't talk.
Look who knows so much, huh? Well, it just so happens that your friend here is only mostly dead. There's a big difference between mostly dead and all dead. Please open his mouth. Now,
mostly dead is slightly alive. All dead?
All dead Well, with all dead, there's usually only one thing that you can do.
What's that?
Go through his clothes and look for loose change.
Okay, so we're not going to go through the Packers' clothes and look for loose change, although if they're anything like Chewy, you might find a roll of $800 sitting in the truck unlocked.
Shh, we're not talking about that anymore.
But I digress. Are the Packers mostly dead or all dead, Chew? Mostly dead or all dead. ESPN Analytics gives them a 6% chance of making the playoffs. You could potentially make an argument that if they beat the Bears and the Rams and the Dolphins and the Lions, hey, that's a, what, they could be sitting at 500. Is that the end of the season? I don't even know. Are they mostly dead or all dead after losing to the Titans last night?
All dead. Going into, even though they had a hiccup last week, going into one of the best teams in the league and one of the toughest places to play on national TV. Yeah, this is going to be ugly. Ugly, ugly, ugly. I see this taking a turn for the worse. There's no way they beat Philly.
And then you have to worry about the locker room, too. You have to worry about guys jumping ship. You got to worry about the fake injuries and, oh, my hammy, or, you know, guys turning against each other. Things could, when you're losing like this and you don't seem to have an answer for the losing, that's when things can get real bad.
Yeah, we're there. We're there. Because if you even listen to Aaron, I mean, he's just saying what he has to say. There's no energy behind it. He knows that this thing is done. It's going to be a ride, I can tell you that. It will be a ride.
Keep your hands and arms inside the car at all times. All right, it is time for us to play Week in Rechew. Yeah, you thought that Jen was here and Gabe was not. Maybe we wouldn't play. Oh, you forgot? Yeah, that's totally the theme of the game. 800-990-3776. We need two contestants to play Week in Rechew. 800-990-3776. Give us a call now to play.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Shouldn't you mark that thing, though?
Mark what thing? What are
anal thermometer, not just wash it and put it back in the medicine cabinet? Shouldn't there be,
you
shouldn't
know
there
be that
like
that's the
orange?
Anal one, yeah. It
I would
be a
like
different color.
To think that this was a hypothetical he's throwing out there.
On 94.5 ESPN. Here we go.
The anal thermometer never gets old. It is time to play Week in Rechew here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Here's the game. We asked Chewy some questions about things that happened on this show, not another show, this show, this week, and see what exactly he remembers. Let's begin with question number one, Chew. You ready?
Yep.
Yeah, well, whether you are or you aren't, I was going to go on anyway. What happened that prompted me to use this phrase as a similar example, Ashy? Is this like when you go a while without getting any? Yes,
right?
Yes. That's the
say.
But
that's
what
the phrase.
What was I comparing that to?
That I have no idea. What was it?
The Packers snapping their losing streak by beating the Cowboys. Remember, that was Monday that we were reacting to that because that game was on Sunday.
What's the tie-in?
When you go a while without getting any.
Oh, that was blue balls. That's right.
All right, you are 0-1 this morning. Let's go to number two. Whose nickname is this?
Long balls?
Nope.
I don't know. Oh, that's Watson.
Yeah.
Randy Watson.
It is Christian Watson because he caught those three touchdowns, two of which were on deep balls, and had two more touchdowns yesterday in a losing effort. So Christian Watson, I do think, could be a silver lining of this season if he continues to emerge and gain confidence out there. Of course, we don't know who will be throwing him the ball going forward after this season, but hey, let's just focus on the positive, accentuate the positive. Number three, you are now 1-1. Do you remember why we were saying these funny phrases? What term did we discover?
Smothers him up.
Blitzes through the a-hole.
What were we? What's the question again? What were we talking about?
Why were Gabe and I making those? What word did we learn? They were like, this is a funny word.
What did you guys learn that then made you say those things? I wasn't here this day. This must have been Tuesday.
This was Tuesday.
Tuesday? I have no idea.
I can't give you. Well, you've already lost, so I'll give you a hint just for funsies. Mm. It has to do with turkey.
Gobble, gobble? Has to do with turkey. I have no idea. I'm so lost.
What is spatchcock?
Spatchcock?
Yeah.
What is
it? Yeah, I remember. Because it would be a great football name?
Yeah, you said it'd be a great football name. It's when you take the turkey and you, you know, destroy the vertebrae and you flatten it out.
Oh,
that's right. Gabe brought that up. Oh, right?
Yes.
Because Gabe likes to spatchcock.
Well, he's been known to want to learn how to spatchcock, I think.
I could see why that was funny. What's the record? What's the score?
He's over three. He's lost.
No,
it's
he
over.
Won one. He got the Christian Watson, Randy Watson.
I mean, I guess technically. Yeah. So, all right. So, Chewy, you currently are 1-2. You've got one right and two wrong.
All right, here we go. Chewy, okay. What was the comparison that Ashton made about the Bills that you also made? I'm sorry. Who made it first? What was the comparison that Ashy made about the Bills that you also made 5 seconds later because you weren't listening?
Do you remember?
Can I have the audio?
No, you got to guess first.
No.
No, the audio is the answer.
What day was that?
It doesn't matter.
It
you don't
must,
remember.
That must have been Tuesday.
I have no idea.
Yeah, you don't know.
I want to know.
All right, here's what it was. This is a good joy. This goes back to what Gabe has said since the beginning of the year, that this feels like your Super Bowl team, like Chewy, as in the they're going to start out hot. They're going to get to a point where people are like, I don't know, and then they're going to rip off the rest of the season.
So it's like us in 96? Kind of.
Here's the problem in my defense. Here's the problem in my defense. Because Gabe got mad at me. I did it again later in the week, I think. I can't multitask. So, like, now I'm trying to pull up where they are ranked defensively, and I can't look at something in here at the same time.
It was just amazing that you said it immediately after I finished saying
it. I know.
So,
I'm an idiot. Is that when I said, yes, I'm an idiot? Everyone knows I'm an idiot, so
no, you say that all the time.
I get a pass.
That was a different time. I got one more question here for you. I'm not sure that there's going to be a winner in this game. Can you tell everyone what we were talking about here?
I wouldn't mind them if they didn't crap or pee or breathe. Dogs. I was talking about that with Jason.
Yeah. All right, you finished strong.
But it kind of goes the same for kids, too. I'd like kids a lot better.
Ashton, who is our winner today on the Week in Richu?
Our lucky winner today is Jackson in Menominee Falls, who guessed the under. So shout out to Jackson for guessing the under, being smart.
I do think that we should call it the Lucker Winnie from now on.
Not my best moment. They're a little
it's contagious, Ashton. See what happens?
Trust me.
I'll put a curse on you.
I leave here and I go, why couldn't I speak? And I know that you've infected me with your charms, Chew. Your charms. Let's just call them that. We put a lot of things on the old Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Most recently, we asked you, Princess Bride style, are the Packers mostly dead or all dead? 87% of people are saying all dead. They are all dead. I don't know. ESPN Analytics says 6% chance.
Basically zero.
What has been more disappointing this year, the offense or the defense? 55% of people saying the offense, 45% of people saying the defense, which is another way of saying it's all bad. It all sucks. Nothing good. Green Bay Packers lose. I'm sure that conversation will continue on Wilde and Tausch right now on ESPN Milwaukee.